We follow the order of Divine Service 3, page 184, also printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
To you, O Lord,
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust.
Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation.
For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Therefore he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right.
And teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness.
For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world through the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took his hand, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they both went of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from James chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the holy reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. We don't have any small children here today, so we will go directly to the sermon hymn, O Christ, You Walk the Road, 424.
Christ, You walked the road our wandering feet must go. You faced with us temptation's power and fought our ancient foe. No bread of earth alone can fill our hungering hearts. Lord, help us seek Your
This morning's sermon, we focus on the reading from Mark chapter 1, our gospel reading. To begin, I reread verse 11. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What does God want to know, want us to know about Him? And within that question, you could have a number of sub-questions. And we'll think about a couple of those ideas today. One might be like, okay, what does God look like?
You can almost think about what I would have asked the children when they were here. What does God look like? Well, in that question, if we approach that question apart from Scripture, then the devil always wants to tempt us, so even if we're in the Scriptures. The devil wants to tempt us, the world wants to tempt us to think what God is like by our own thoughts, by our own ideas. And we're tempted to think about God, what I might think God would look like or behave like or seem like, without listening to what he says himself in his word. And this is exactly, we can learn so much from Genesis chapter 3. This is exactly what the devil tempted Eve and Adam to do at that first sin. So jumping into that narrative, I have it written down there, but from that narrative from Genesis 3, the serpent said to the woman, if you eat of that fruit of the tree, you will die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, if you just stop right there, just think about all the contradictions that the devil is tempting Eve with. God knows better. God is lying to you. God doesn't want you to be like him. Just think about all the possibilities he's tempting her to think. Continuing. So, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, now she's thinking everything. Wow, look at what it looks like. Not what God said about it, but what I think he is. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So the devil tempted her with these thoughts. Don't listen to what God said. No, no, you won't die. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. You'll have maybe power like God. You'll live forever like God. And then she also adds her own thinking, well, yeah, and it looks like it's a beautiful tree, and it looks like it's good to eat. And so she strayed away from what God had said to what the devil was tempting her with in her own thoughts. We think about, what does God look like? Well, the devil and the world, you could probably think of many things yourself, but I have three little thoughts here. frequently, you see God in especially little cartoons representing God, and he's like an old, feeble guy with a white, long beard, and he's there, and you think, boy, that guy doesn't look very impressive, does he? The way God is presented sometimes. Sometimes God is presented, especially in other religions, God is hateful, he's vengeful, which sounds like Satan was almost tempting Eve that way. God doesn't want you to know the truth about that fruit. It's actually very good for you, but he's lying to you. He's saying it's no good for you. I'm telling you it's good for you. He's a bad God. Do you see that? So sometimes God doesn't want us. He's hateful. He's vengeful. Or sometimes, and maybe Christians might be tempted with this thought more often, it seems like God doesn't know what he's doing. And those are ways that we are tempted, or the world presents things. That's what God's like. But when we read this text, there are, even just pulling a few things out of it, what does God want us to know about him from our text, from Mark 1, from these few verses? First of all, it is very clear that God cares for us. Jesus went and took the baptism from John, a baptism for repentance. What did Jesus have to repent of? Nothing. He was holy. He was perfect. But he began his ministry in that what? the sins of the world would be put on him, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to carry our sins. And this is the beginning of his public ministry, that he is going to be carrying sins. And he told John in other passages, we must do this, that all righteousness must be fulfilled. John knew Jesus is holy. No, you should baptize me, not you. John said, no. Jesus said, no, all righteousness must be fulfilled. He cares for us. He came to save us. He came to take our sins upon him. And we also see very clearly here that God wants to be with us. Not only does he care for us, but he wants to be close to us. What happens there at the baptism? In this very short explanation and narrative of it, it says the heavens are rent open. He saw the heavens tear open, and the voice comes, the Father's voice, and the Holy Spirit comes to Jesus in the form of a dove. What is that but God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and on earth, God the Son is with people. God did not say, well, now you people have to come up into heaven by me, see if you can build a tower about tall enough. In fact, he was mad when people did that in the Tower of Babel. You think you're gods, you're not gods. But God wants to be with us, and he comes to us. I didn't realize this till I was preparing for the sermon, but this tearing apart heavens and the voice coming, it's the same verb, it's the same vision and verb and description as what happened when Jesus died on the cross and the curtain tore in the temple. What did that mean? The curtain tore from the temple, from the Holy of Holy place, Holy of Holies, to the holy place where the priests were. God's holy presence, the division was torn when Christ died, and now God is with his people. When Christ died on the cross. That's exactly what's happening at the baptism. God rends heaven and he speaks and he sends the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are now on earth. The Father's pointing out, his voice is on earth, pointing out the Son, sending the Holy Spirit. The Son is there with the Holy Spirit. God is with his people. That is what God wants us to know about him. He wants to be with us. Which is what? Emmanuel, God with us. And we see also in this very brief description of Jesus being tempted by Satan, Satan cannot stop God's salvation for us. Satan wanted to stop Jesus over and over again through the plans and the jealousies of the chief priests, through the betrayal by Judas, by the demons speaking to Jesus and him casting them out. Many, many ways the devil tried to stop Jesus and in his temptation too. But no, the devil cannot stop God from saving us. Now this word, or now this question, what does God look like? Now, if we think carefully as Christians and understanding something about the Trinity, we understand that we don't have a picture or a clear photograph or something of the Father. The Son was here. People saw him, talked to him, touched him, and everything. So there is a Son. And the Spirit, we've just seen it lights as a dove. So how do we think about God the Father? Well, what did God the Father say at the baptism of Jesus? God the Father said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." If we want to know what God is like, and if we want to know what God looks like, how does he act? Well, who is he well pleased with? Jesus. To know the Father is to know the Son, which Jesus taught many times over. But here specifically, we hear that God the Father is pleased with the Son. Everything the Son is doing and speaking, all his healing, everything he's going to do in his ministry, God the Father is pleased with. And to know God the Father is to look to Jesus and to know what Jesus is all about. And this, things like our Lent services, things like Holy Week, where we concentrate on the suffering and death of Jesus for us to forgive our sins, to know what Jesus has done for us is to know what God the Father is like and how he cares for us. What's written about Jesus is what God wants us to know about him. God the Father wants to know about him. And just a few thoughts on that very brief message of what Jesus began to do. It says in verses 14 and 15, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God." Proclaiming the gospel of God, the Father. Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the Father. And saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Just a few thoughts. What does God want us to know? What time is it I have there? Well, it's time to listen. Proclaiming the gospel of God, that this is God speaking. When Jesus speaks, that is his Father's will. His Father is pleased with everything as Jesus is doing. And Jesus in many places, for instance, in John, we covered in Bible class this morning. Everything that the Father wants done, the Son does. They work hand in hand. And to hear Jesus' teaching and preaching is what the Father is also saying. This is the gospel of God. The time is fulfilled. Basically, you can say, you don't have to wait any longer. We Christians living about 2,000 years after Jesus, we're waiting for Jesus to return. This is true. But sometimes in our daily lives and actions, we say, well, I wonder what God is going to do. Think about that. No, we Christians know what God has done in Christ. That is what counts. Yes, in our daily life, we're wondering how this might go or how this might go, what decision we have to make. But all that in our daily life depends on what Christ has done for us on the cross and that he's risen from the dead. That's what God has done. And so that reflects, that shines on our daily life. So that, yes, we have to make decisions this way or that way, or we need to say a word or pray about this, but all of that is shined upon and grace, receive grace upon grace because of what God has done for us in Christ. The time is fulfilled. What has God done in Christ? When God says, when then Jesus says, the kingdom, and I have in there the notes of the reign, this is active kingdom. It's not like, and I've mentioned this before, it's not like a kingdom like the borders of the kingdom. It's not like that. It's the reign of God as he's going out, the active reign of God. What is he doing? He is working through Christ. And as we see and hear about Jesus in the Gospels working, that is the reign of God coming out among us. Repent and believe in the gospel. And remember, this is the gospel of the Father, of God. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, again, means, I said it last week, or Ash Wednesday, means turn. So turn from your way of thinking, turn from your sinful human way of thinking, turn away from that, and believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news that God is giving. And so Jesus is preaching this to the people who are waiting for God's kingdom to come. But that's us too, isn't it? What do we, Jesus has taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. His kingdom comes through the words and teachings of Jesus Christ. His kingdom has come, is reigning among us. And so we ask for God's deliverance, we ask for God's help through our daily lives, we ask for guidance, but all that is already given us. We're wondering here and there, but God says, look what I've done for you in my Son, Jesus Christ, in whom I am well pleased. This is for you. I'll help you make that decision. I'll give you some guidance. I'll give you protection. Or maybe it's time I'll take you home. Whatever the answer might be, His Son has done all things for us, and His reign is among us. So we listen to the teachings by Jesus, and we trust in them. As Jesus begins His ministry here, He calls attention to the certainty to know what God is about. We don't have to think of some cartoon drawing of God. We don't have to think of a different religion's idea about God. We don't have to come to our own understanding what God must be like. But we look to Christ. That is God for us, sent by His Father, working with the Holy Spirit. That is who God is and what He wants us to know. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank You for sending Your Son. Help us to listen to His preaching and His words written down for us. Help us to understand His miracles that He did and see that all this is You acting among Your people. Give us faith to know that this bright light and good word and actions in it is also for our lives. Give us faith, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lend me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free Spirit.
We pray together. The prayer of Zion Lutheran Church is printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith to follow our Lord Jesus and resist temptation, that we would come through this fallen world to dwell with Him forever, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of God, guarded by the Lord, who bore the wood of the cross, that her ministers and people may be certain that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, and for boldness of faith, that we may trample every power of the enemy underfoot, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all catechumens and their teachers, all children and their parents, and every Christian home, that God would preserve them from the assaults of the evil one, and as Christ overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, give them victory through Him and His word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
To the Father of lights, from whom every good and perfect gift comes, that He would keep us from all sinful desires and misuse of His gifts, for His help to use them in service to our neighbor, and that He would bless our president and all leaders to govern wisely for the good of this and future generations, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our brothers and sisters and all who suffer in our midst, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Sue and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Dave, Randy, Chelsea, Joe, Tim, Norma, Mike, Todd, Zachary, and we remember the family of Ann Odie. That God Most High, our refuge in every trouble, would command His angels to keep them from every evil of body, mind, or soul. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who commune, that in the Blessed Sacrament they would acknowledge the time fulfilled and the kingdom at hand in Christ Jesus, receiving His body and blood with repentance and faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, see how the adversary continually afflicts us and walks about us as a roaring lion, just seeking to devour us. We implore you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy would not prevail over us, but instead that we may abide evermore in your grace, and be preserved to life everlasting, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Peace.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat the true body of Christ, which is given for you.
Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Order my footsteps by thy word and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear. Assist my soul to have to stray, a stricter watch to keep. And should I e'er forget thy way, restore thy wandering sheep. Make me to walk in thy commands. 'Tis a delightful road, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. Oh Lord, we praise thee.
Welcome to the table of the Lord.
Take and eat the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Bow before thee, thou with thy body and thy blood didst nourish our weak souls that they may flourish.
Now may the true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ
than this to thee could bind us. May this feast thereof remind us. O Lord, have mercy. Lord, thy kindness did so constrain thee that thy blood should bless and sustain. All our debt thou hast paid. Peace with God once more is made. O Lord, have mercy. May God bestow on us his grace and favor that we communion. O Lord, have mercy. Let not thy good Spirit forsake us. Grant that heavenly-minded
body of Christ.
He make us give thy church light to see days of peace and unity.
Take the body of Christ given for you.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
Take the true body of Christ. Take and eat.
Which at the mercy seat of God, please for the captive's liberty, was also shed in love for me. Lord, I believe.
The congregation is invited to stand for the general dismissal. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. Mr. Shum, you're welcome to come up and speak with us.
Eric, a scholarly youth, enjoyed academics, but he had no use for faith or religion. He was a communist and an atheist, and he thought Christians were weak, hypocritical, and fanatical. He also liked debate because he liked to express his point of view to try to convince others that his way of thinking was correct. One day, he was challenged by some of his Christian friends to read the Gospel of John. And he said he would. And he even said that he'll prove that your God does not exist using your own Bible. Well, first, he needed to find one. And he recalled a few years earlier that he had received a testament similar to this at school from a Gideon. So he went home and he searched around and eventually found it. So as he was reading, you know, the Gospel of John, a thought kept going through his mind. What if Jesus is who he says he is? A little while longer, those same friends invited him to a Christian youth rally. He accepted, and once he got there, he said, "Okay, God, here I am. Show yourself to me. I need to know." And throughout his time there, he felt his presence, something that he had really never felt before in his life. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, the Gideons, we never know who or when somebody's going to be touched by the Word of God, but what we do know is that the Word of God does not return void. It's going to accomplish that which he pleases. The Gideons, we're an extended missionary arm of the church with one objective, and that's winning others to Christ. We do this a couple different ways. One is by personally witnessing of God's word to others. The second is the placement and distribution of God's word. This occurs in about 200 countries around the world with Bibles and testaments that are printed in more than 100 languages. They're handed out at schools, universities, hospitals, hotels, motels, jails, as well as given to military personnel. Here in Henry County, last year we passed out more than 2,000 scriptures. About 700 of those were passed out at the Henry County Fair, and about 180 were passed out across the street last December during the live nativity. Now, these distributions, they can only occur with support from congregations such as yours. And there's a couple ways that you could support the work of the Gideons. First is prayer. Pray for those that are receiving these scriptures that they would open their heart and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Pray for the safety of those Gideons and missionaries around the world that are in dangerous or difficult situations. And pray that the doors would be open to the distribution of God's word here in our own country and abroad. The second is financial. Financial support for the placement and distribution of scriptures. About $9, one of these Bibles can be put in a hotel or motel room. And about $1.90, one of these scriptures can be handed out at a school or university. Last year, about 54 million scriptures were placed worldwide. But those requests continue to be made to the Gideons. So with your continued support, we'll be able to reach those that really need to hear God's word. So thank you, Pastor, for having a few minutes, and thank you, congregation, for your continued support of the Gideons.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, being with us this Sunday. Mr. Shum is a member at St. John in Holgate, so that's where he's from. And maybe some of you already know him. But maybe if any of you have questions about the Gideons, he's here. You can speak to him after service. And remember, there is that insert about the Gideons on the back table as you exit church. We close with our last hymn, 643.
Sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from his dwelling take leave. The supper is ended, oh, now be extended, the fruits of this service in all who shall blossom in action come and answer his call with praise and thanksgiving.